Let me lead us in a prayer as we have a look at that wonderful passage from Colossians. Dear Lord, we thank you that you open doors. We thank you that you have opened the door of our hearts. We thank you for the open doors that we have in New South Wales to work in government spaces, whether that's scripture in our schools, hospital chaplaincy, or even work in our prisons. We pray that these doors will remain open, that you'll continue to open the doors of people's hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what can we do as ordinary Christians to ensure that our Christian friends stand firm in the faith? What can we do as ordinary Christians to ensure that outsiders come to hear of the good news of Christ? And first and foremost, the answer to the question is pray. To pray. You and I are not the Apostle Paul. Most of us are not missionaries or evangelists, but we can all pray. We can all pray. As individuals and as a church, we can pray, and we're doing that this morning. We're having morning prayer. It's exactly what we're doing. And we're praying, and I'm sure you do from time to time, pray about local mission here in the Randwick area. How can we see more people come to know Jesus in this local area? Whether that's scripture in the schools or through the English classes that you run here, which, by the way, is another Anglican ministry, the English classes that you run here. Whether that's chaplaincy at Prince of Wales Hospital or in Long Bay Prison, or whether it's global mission, when we pray for people who are serving with CMS and other agencies around the world. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. And in this passage, it's quite a short passage. I'm going to break it into two sections. The first section is, and you can see the notes in your yellow handout there, speaking to God about people. And then the second heading is speaking to people about God. So let's start the first one, speaking to God about people. All Christian ministry begins with prayer, with devoted prayer. Earlier on in this letter of Colossians, and I know you're working your way through Colossians, Paul said in verse 9 of chapter 1, "We haven't stopped praying for you," he says. "We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people." Paul hasn't stopped praying for this group of Christians meeting in the city of Colossae. And later on in this chapter, chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "Epaphras, he's always wrestling in prayer for you." I'm not sure what wrestling in prayer looks like. You have sort of images of wrestlers, you know, coming into your mind. But it says, "Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." We're called upon to be watchful and thankful in prayer. What does watchful mean? I think it means keeping your spiritual eyes open. How is God working in my local area? How is God working in the world around us? And I think keeping your spiritual eyes open also means we're conscious of the fact that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. "Come, Lord Jesus," Christians have prayed through the ages. And even in the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We've got to be praying that God's kingdom will come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be watchful, but we also need to be thankful. As we plead with God to save others, we should be thankful for the things that God has already done. I learnt this lesson when I was in Silverwater Jail one night. Men who are in the kind of low security part of the jail go out to work during the day and come back to the jail at night. And the chaplain at Silverwater runs a Bible study group for the men when they get back from work. It's sort of in the evening, about 7 p.m., which is unusual for jail. In the high security jails, the men are locked down at about 2:30 in the afternoon and you don't have access to them. But at the low security part of Silverwater, the men go out and work. And one fellow had been working in a smash repair place in the inner west. And then he comes back to the jail at night. And the chaplain's got half a dozen men in this group. And he says to them, let's pray now. First of all, what are you thankful for? And what do you want me to pray for? And I thought, what are the men going to say? We're in Silverwater jail for crying out loud. What are they going to say they're thankful for? And this man says, I'm so thankful that we can meet together. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so thankful that we can meet together. And then his prayer point was, pray that I'll be an example of Jesus in my place of work every day. Some days the boss is grumpy, some days the boss is nice, but pray I'll be an example of Jesus every day. Isn't that wonderful? And I kept thinking, I wish my men's group at Miranda on a Tuesday night had prayer points as good as that, okay? Isn't that wonderful? But I took an example from that. Whenever I'm asking for prayer points in my own Bible study group or from my chaplains when we have prayer meetings, I do exactly that. What are you thankful for first? And then what should we pray for? And that's what Paul says in this passage. We need to be watchful and thankful for what God has already done, and then bring our prayer points to him. So to be watchful and thankful. And then in verse 3 it says, pray that a door would be opened for our message. Paul goes on to pray that he'll have clear proclamation, and he's conscious of the fact that he's in chains himself. By the way, you realise most of Paul's letters were written from jail. Do you realise that? If God hadn't put him in jail periodically and slowed him down, we wouldn't have half the New Testament, okay? When he got slowed down a little bit, he started writing letters. And there, most of the New Testament is that. And Colossians is a good example. Most of Paul's letters were written from prison when he was writing to churches that he couldn't physically visit at that time because of his chains. Pray that a door might be opened for our message, he says. Sometimes an open door happens in the life of an individual. So, for example, in the book of Acts, we're told that when Paul went to the city of Philippi, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth, that she might come to know the Lord. If you know anything about, the ladies in the room would know this, purple cloth in the ancient world, the most expensive dye that you could have. Normally worn only by extremely wealthy people, possibly royalty. Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth, and she goes to a place of prayer near the river, and the Lord opens her heart to receive Paul's message. And she becomes a Christian, and the first church in that place meets in her house. You realize there were no church buildings for the first 3 centuries of the church. Normally, you met in the house of the Christian who had the biggest house. And in the case of Philippi, that was Lydia's house where they met. So the Lord can open the heart of an individual, but he also can open groups, if you know what I mean. A new kind of avenue of openness can happen. So, for example, Paul, when he was planning to do a little bit more work in what we know today as Turkey, Asia Minor, he had a vision in a dream one night. A man from Macedonia said, come over here and bring us the message. And Paul, those of you who know a bit of World War II history, or World War I to be precise, he crosses the Dardanelles from Turkey to Europe and goes to visit one of the first cities is Philippi, which is one of the first places in Europe to receive the gospel. The man of Macedonia says, come over here. And it's an open door for the gospel to move from Asia to Europe. And most of us in the room here today are the beneficiaries of that vision being fulfilled as the gospel first went to Europe. And likewise today, we need to be praying for open doors to groups, so to speak. And that might be the open door in the hospital, the open door in the prison, the open door in the local schools here as you teach scripture. And what are the other local doors in your area in Randwick? I don't know, but you might know, and God might show you in prayer. Where's an open door in your area to do certain things? Can I give you an example from when I was in Miranda? We were teaching scripture in the local schools, and one of the schools is Yowie Bay, and the principal of the school decided that she would clash scripture with the gifted and talented class. She'd put them on at the same time in the timetable. So I rang her up and I said, what would you do if you had a gifted and talented Anglican or a gifted and talented Roman Catholic? You know, knowing full well that the last two duxes of the school had come from my church, you know, my assistant minister's daughter and the GP in the congregation's son, you know. And she said, oh. And I said, I think that's in contravention to the Scripture Act here, paragraph 13b. And she said, oh, have you got it there, have you? And I said, yeah, would you like me to send that over? It'd be no trouble, you know. Anyway, one of the other teachers in the congregation told me that she was a bit unhappy with me for a couple of months. And then 6 months later, she rings me up and says, I've heard that one of the other schools has got this thing called a school chaplain. Can we get one of those? She said to me. I said, yes. And a lady from our church in Miranda, Kerry Moss, has been the school chaplain now for 20 years at that school. There's an open door, isn't it? We had an open door about scripture. The principal tried to close it by clashing it with the gifted and talented class. We opened it again, and then that led God's kindness to another open door to place a school chaplain in that school. Isn't that wonderful? God opens doors sometimes to groups. And then Paul says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Having been an optometrist, I want things to be clear, okay? Whenever I visit other churches, sometimes I look out and I see some people squinting at me from the pews. And I'll sometimes approach them at morning tea and say, look, it could be the conviction of sin. It could be you haven't seen the optometrist for a while. You know, and I've made a few referrals over the years. But Paul prays that he might make the message clear. The wonder of forgiveness, the new life in Christ, the future hope that we have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul prays that they might pray for him, that when he does talk about Jesus, he would make it clear. Now, that's Paul. What about us? We have an opportunity to speak about Jesus as well. As I said before, we're not all apostles. We're not all of us are missionaries, but we can all pray, and we can all, as one person talked about it, we can all gossip the gospel, okay? We can all talk about Jesus in our context. A word of witness, an answer to a question. Why do you go to church, someone says to you? What are you going to say? You got to kind of like elevate a pitch. You know, you heard of that expression? If you're in an elevator with someone and you've got about 1 minute, what are you going to say? If someone said, oh, you go to church, why do you go? How are you going to answer that question? You might have a little opportunity to talk about your trust in the Lord Jesus. And Paul says, pray that I might be wise and bold. I think as younger people, sometimes boldness comes easy, okay? Sometimes as older people, wisdom might be our thing. We need a combination of both, don't we? I had a youth leader when I was a young man who'd been in the Navy, and he was wonderfully converted to Christianity from drinking to excess and various things. And when he became a Christian, he was so excited about it being a Christian, he took out a subscription for all the sailors on his ship for a Billy Graham magazine every month. They got Decision magazine arriving in their mail every month. you've got to admire his enthusiasm as a young converted Christian. I think that might have irritated some of the Navy people to all get a subscription to Billy Graham magazine, but you kind of think, good on him for having a go, you know what I mean? I think as we get older, we're probably wiser, but more cautious, aren't we? If someone says something to us, will we say anything back? Why do you go to church? Are we ready with an answer? How would we answer someone who asked us that question? So the younger Christian might be urgent and lacking tact and discretion, but the older Christian might have more wisdom but lack boldness. We need a bit of both, don't we? The wisdom of age and the boldness of youth. So we're to be talking about Jesus, but to do it in a gracious and salty way, Paul says in this letter. He says, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you can answer everyone. One of the great verses for chaplaincy is in the book of James, where it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. We've got to listen to our friends, don't we? And our relatives and our work colleagues and our neighbours. Listen to them. Ask them some questions. And then as we have an opportunity, they might start asking you a question and then you get an opportunity to speak, don't you? Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may be able to answer everyone. And that's what my chaplains every day in the hospitals and in the prisons discover. You go up to people and you ask them how they're going. You listen to them. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. But there comes an opportunity then for you to answer the questions they might ask. And that's what Paul says in this passage, so that you may know how to answer everyone in a gracious and salty way. Let me tell you another story about the jail at Long Bay. They run a course called the Prisoner's Journey. Some of you might have heard of a Christian Inquirer's course called Christianity Explored. They've reshaped it for prisoners, and the videos they show to the prisoners are all present or former inmates. So they watch a series of videos over 5 weeks, and all the videos are former inmates. Lots of tattoos, okay? Explaining the Christian message in a way that makes sense to the prisoners. And I've had the privilege of going to what they call the final celebration meeting, the final week of the 5 weeks. And the chaplain put up a whiteboard, and he got the prisoners, he gave them the texters, the markers, the whiteboard markers, and just got them to draw what the course had meant to them. And one guy wrote on the board, free on the inside. Isn't that wonderful? Free on the inside. By hearing the message, he was free on the inside, even though he might have been in jail for many more years to come. So how can an ordinary group of Christians like us here at St. Jude's today, how can an ordinary group of Christians change the world or even just change our local area? And the answer is, first and foremost, to pray. To pray that God would open doors to groups and to individuals in our local area. Pray that people would be saved. Please, and I know you do, name your friends. Name your relatives who don't know the Lord in prayer. Name your work colleagues. Name your neighbours, that you might have an opportunity to speak with them about the hope you have in the Lord Jesus. And pray for those who are ministers, like the two Andrews here, that when they speak God's word, they will speak it clearly, as they should. Pray for our ministers, our missionaries, and our chaplains, that God will go before them into every room and to prepare the room so people will hear God's message. So we're to be wise and bold, but gracious and salty as we have opportunity. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for Paul's encouragement to us all through your word to be people of prayer. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to witness in New South Wales, in our local schools, in our hospitals, in our prisons, and that's an opportunity that's not enjoyed in every state. We pray that those doors will remain open to the gospel, and we thank you for our prison chaplains and our hospital chaplains. We pray that you will go with them every day, that they will be full of grace and seasoned with salt and know how they can answer everyone. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.